Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for this opportunity to worship you this morning. Lord, to hear from Reverend Benson. Lord, to just listen to your words. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would continue to speak to us. That still small voice that seeks to speak into the heart of every person that you have created. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. Now, Lee Strobel is the writer of a book called The Case for Christ. And Lee Strobel is a legal investigative journalist, or was, for the Chicago Tribune. He set out to disprove minimally, that Jesus even existed. And hopefully, if he did exist, Jesus, like everyone else, eventually died, where he was no longer living above ground. And a few weeks ago, we showed that in the Gospels of Jesus, or we could call those stories of Jesus, biographies of Jesus, that they talked about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and are some of the most, we found out, reliable ancient manuscripts of historical record ever written. We also showed how the actual writings or these biographies of Jesus are based on eyewitness accounts, not on secondhand accounts or legends written hundreds of years later, but on eyewitnesses who saw Jesus perform miracles, who heard him preach and teach with an authority that had not been heard before, who ate with him, especially at the Last Supper, who watched him die and mourn his loss. And then 3 days later, they met him again. And then last week, we looked for ourselves and determined that Jesus did indeed believe that he was God in the flesh, the Son of God, the Messiah, the long-awaited one. The people who followed him believed that he was the Messiah. The religious leaders stated that he could not do the miracles he performed if he was not sent from God. Bringing people back from the dead, healing the blind, causing the lame to walk again. And the people who hated him most, those who wanted him dead, not because of who was following him or the things he could do, they wanted him dead because of who he was claiming to be. So as Lee Strobel continued to search for information to discredit this Jesus, he came to the point where he began to look specifically at his burial and death, and then his resurrection. The medical evidence shows that Jesus could not have survived a crucifixion. The Romans were brutal in this act. No way, no how could he have lived. And I'll let you read Lee Strobel's write-up on this subject, as it gets into a lot of details we don't want to share this morning. Now, in the news over this last week, there has been a report that has created a large question mark in people's minds. A Washington Post journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, a Saudi national, has been living in the U.S. for fear of his life because he's been critical of a Saudi prince named Salman. And on October 2nd, that would be 12 days ago, he went to the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, to get some paperwork done so he could get married. There's video showing him walking into the consulate. What happened once he got into the consulate is currently up for debate because he's missing them. Some say he went on his merry way. Others say his life was ended because of the very prince whom he had been so critical. But there's a problem. There's no body in which to prove Jamal is either alive or dead. Like many people who have gone missing at some point in time, without seeing them again, we may never know what happened to them. Seeing Jamal again would really clarify what had happened. But as of yet, we don't know. In the movie, The Case for Christ, Lee asks one of his co-workers where he should start in disproving Jesus. Disproving Jesus' claim to be the Messiah. And his co-worker said something like this: if you can disprove that Jesus rose from the dead, that he was resurrected, the rest of Christianity is like a house of cards and will come tumbling down. Prove it didn't happen, and you have made your case. In other words, if you find the body of Jesus, then you can prove he did die and is no longer alive. I remember a seminary professor, it was one of my first classes, walking into class one morning, and he stated this: did you know that the body of Jesus Christ has been found? To say it caused a slight uproar in class was something. But then he followed up with another question, and he asked this question: would you still believe in the God of the Hebrews if Jesus, who claimed to be the Messiah, never did rise from the dead? Would you believe in that God still? After all the claims Jesus had made and then did not fulfill. Well, you know, we can say with certainty that gods have always seemed to exist in one form or another, but for Christianity to have no Jesus, to have no risen Savior, wow, that would be huge. Theologian Gerald O'Callaghan said it this way: in a profound sense, Christianity without the resurrection is not simply Christianity without its final chapter. It's no Christianity at all. You find the body and you'll have the answers. Now, we learned that within 38 reliable ancient documented sources, we know for certain that Jesus lived. And at some point, he was crucified by the Romans under Pontius Pilate. Several of these documents also state that two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, took Jesus' body down from the cross and laid him in the tomb. These documents also state that Roman soldiers were to guard that tomb. They actually placed a seal on that tomb so that if the rock was rolled away, they would know it, to make sure that nobody took Jesus' body away. Under penalty of death, the soldiers must succeed in guarding the tomb. This was serious stuff. This was no messing around. Now, not only was it serious business in AD 33, this is serious business today. You see, with the body in the tomb, there is no Christianity. There just cannot be Christianity. Yet, just a few years later, one of Christianity's fiercest opponents, his name was Saul of Tarsus, a man who was at best imprisoning Christians and at worst was having Christians killed, Saul would encounter Jesus alive. Alive 3 to 5 years after Jesus was supposed to be dead. Saul encounters Jesus while he's walking to the city of Damascus to deal with yet another set of Christians. This man who meant business would, by all worldly standards, do a complete 180 and become one of Jesus' most zealous and devoted followers and promoters. Well, read with me what Saul wrote down about this. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Paul wants to remind these Christians of the gospel, the good news which had its origins when something spectacular happened. What is that good news he's talking about? That he preached, that they received, on which they took their stand, that which, if they held on to firmly, would save them from sin and death? What is that gospel that he was willing to be stoned for, shipwrecked for, and killed for? What was he passing on to them that through the years, decades, and centuries later have been passed down until it has reached you and me? Well, let's read what that is. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried. That He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. I've always known these words. They are a point of the most ancient of creeds. We say a creed that's very similar to this. That He was buried. That He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. We use these creeds to affirm our faith. To affirm our faith in God the Father, in Jesus Christ the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. See it? Let's break it down. Christ died for what? Our sins. According to what?
Scriptures.
That He was buried, that He was what?
Raised.
On what day?
The third.
The third day, according to what?
The Scriptures.
And then He appeared. He appeared to Cephas, who is Peter, and the 12. All according to what? The Scriptures. These ancient documents that are eyewitness accounts. The Scriptures in the Old Testament that predicted these events came true in the New Testament, which we have today. What does that say when a disbeliever, the chief disbeliever of Christ, becomes the one passing down to others what some would call a fantasy? It's all about where the body of Jesus is not. At the tail end of the verse, he states that Jesus also appeared to Cephas, who is Peter, and then to the 12. Guess whom also this living Christ appeared to? It says this. Well, I guess I didn't put it down there. It says, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Most of whom are, now this is the key, most of whom are still living, still alive at the time that he wrote this, though some have fallen asleep. Now we can point to the fact that Jesus was seen alive by more than 500 people at the same time and just call it good. When we see newspapers printing something today that is factually inaccurate, what must they do?
Retract.
They must retract the statement. Somebody has called them on the carpet and said, that is not true, and the publisher then has to reprint something saying, this was found to be false, we're sorry, blah, blah, blah. Right? What convinces me that Paul is writing these words, who is writing these words within 18 years of the fact that he saw Jesus alive, that 500 people saw Jesus alive, and he reaches this point, or this is the point, that none of those 500 who are still alive wrote a dispute on the claim that he made. Nobody wrote a dispute saying that Paul was all wet. I did not see Jesus alive. There are no existing documents arguing that they didn't actually see Jesus. Not Peter. Not the 12. Not any of the 500 who are still living. Not the one who hated Jesus and his followers the most. Why? Because they saw him alive. It's that simple. Then according to Paul, Jesus appeared to his own brother, James, who also doubted Jesus was who he claimed to be, who also doubted that Jesus was the Son of God. No way! I grew up with the guy. And James would go on to become the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Listen. Can you see electricity? Can you see electricity? I can't. But I know it exists. I remember a number of years ago helping a maintenance guy at the seminary I attended to change out ballasts in LED lights. ceiling lights. He understood electricity, and he wouldn't turn off the power. He would just make sure he didn't touch two particular wires together. Now, I, on the other hand, was a little bit more concerned. At the age of about, I think I was about 16, I was changing a light bulb, and the light bulb broke off, and then I reached up to get the metal part out. I got a really good zap. He told me, whatever I do, do not touch these two particular wires. I did not have to test out what he already knew to be true. I simply believed him at his word. When we talk about Jesus being laid in the tomb and that tomb being empty, we have several recourses of belief. One, he never died and was never laid in the tomb to begin with. But the ancient documents attest his death and his being put into the tomb with soldiers sent to make sure that his body didn't leave that tomb. Two, someone came and took the body out under the soldiers' noses. Even if somebody came to take the body, they could not make him alive again. Only God has that kind of control over life and death. One, he never was died and never was laid in the tomb. Two, someone came and took the body, but how could they make him alive again? Three, more than 500 people saw him alive, especially his very closest friends and even his disbelieving brother, and they all went out and attested that he was alive. More than attest, they began what we know today as the church that has existed for more than 2,000 years and continues to exist and will continue, according to scriptures, to exist until the end. Four, nobody was named as seeing Jesus alive ever said or wrote, nobody who was named as seeing Jesus alive ever said or wrote something to the contrary. There is no writing by those who claim to see him alive, again disproving the claim that it was false. What if the missing journalist, Jamal, turned up again and began to tell others what happened to him? We would have no doubt that he's alive. Those that saw him could then tell others that they have seen him with their own eyes, that they have heard him speak with their own ears, and word would get out. What really is the difference between this with Jamal and Jesus being seen alive and attested to by many, many people? Nothing. Nothing. As in either case, we are believing the eye of witnesses. God the Father is a good, good Father and has provided the truth of Jesus' resurrection to be witnessed and attest to by more than 500 people. Well, that's a pretty sizable number, isn't it? Not just by those who loved him. Those who you might say, well, they loved him. They wanted to start something new. But by those who not only loved him, but some who didn't believe in him and yet saw him alive afterward and then attested to him being alive, as well as those who hated him, hated what he started, the church, and tried to kill the church, and then encountered Jesus alive himself, who not only stopped hunting Christians, but then joined him, becoming their chief promoter of Jesus' life, leading many others through time to believe in him also. Imagine facing someone who disbelieves in Jesus, but instead of you having to ask or answer a question, you ask this question. Prove to me that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Why are we left having to answer the question? Lee Strobel was one who went to prove that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. He's a trained investigator going to Yale. He's a smart guy. Josh McDowell is a lawyer who wanted to disprove that Jesus ever lived. It took a couple years. And his eventual answer or response that he got was, well, he did live. Because everything points to him being alive again. And then to go on and state that I have 27 reliable ancient documents And he was seen again by those who loved him, seen again by those who didn't believe him, but now believe him alive because they saw him alive, and then was seen again by those who hated him, but now believe him alive and tell others about it all the time. The proof is in the eyewitnesses. You don't always have to prove that he's alive. Why not ask the question, prove to me that he wasn't? The ancient eyewitnesses, the reliable documents, the testimony of life upon life says different. That Jesus was raised from the dead. That he was seen alive by many people. Wow. God is good all the time. And he provides everything that we need to live life with joy and peace, knowing that we serve a risen Savior. In Jesus' name we say these things. Amen? Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful that you have provided for us all that we need to attest to the truth of your word, to attest to the truth of what really happened nearly 2,000 years ago. And God, we ask that you would give us strength, that you would give us the words that need to be said when somebody is seeking you, or somebody is questioning your existence. Lord, that we could give them the right words that would help them to understand that it's not a fantasy, but it's fact. We thank you, good Father, that you speak to us still today through your word and through Jesus by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.